Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I think that Vladimir Putin would continue to march through Europe if he were allowed. I think he might go to the Balkans next. I think he might have a showdown with Poland or one of our NATO allies. To put it bluntly, I would rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys.
Speaker Mike Johnson says the U.S. House will vote this weekend on long-delayed aid for Ukraine, despite opposition from some of his fellow Republicans. CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarland joins us now. Scott, so let's get into the details of what's being proposed and how close it is to some of the Senate proposals.
Well, he's trying to thread a political needle here. He's $61 billion for Ukraine, $23 billion for Israel, some more money for the Indo-Pacific, but he's separated them into different pods so that he can find a way to get both parties to sign on, navigate his narrow majority, and prevent more dissension from his fellow Republicans who do not want to fund Ukraine. It's a balancing act. I think he thinks this is going to work, which is why he put it out there. But it's also noteworthy that he released this bill to help Ukraine the same day U.S. military leaders, including the defense secretary, testified in Congress that Ukraine is running out of money and running out of munitions and in dire straits.
If President Joe Biden says that he strongly supports the proposal from Johnson, what does that mean for Johnson?
Well, it's a good indication for the bill, but Speaker Mike Johnson is under threat for his job because his fellow Republicans think he's cutting too many deals with the president and with Democrats. So he's taking a stand here. And I think he's making an argument through the day yesterday and continuing into today that the Ukraine money is bigger than politics, that the Ukraine money is necessary no matter what becomes of it for him. And that's an argument his predecessor, Kevin McCarthy, made when he voted and set up a vote in September 2023 to avoid a government shutdown, that it's more important to keep federal workers and service members paid than to secure his own political future. He was removed as speaker just days later. Mike Johnson is up against a wall here, and he's at this moment trying to find a path forward to keep Ukraine funded, keep Israel funded, and keep his job. We'll see if it works.
How much protection could he expect from Democrats through this process?
Yeah, I've had a number of Democrats tell me that they would, if it means keeping Ukraine funded, intervene as they can to try to help Mike Johnson. I think the party leadership, the Democratic Party leadership, would rather that their members keep their powder dry on this and not say anything, you know, demonstrative either way, to give themselves some flexibility. But there's a reality here, a political reality, that I think is more fundamental and potentially more important. You can't really function as Speaker of the House with the minority party propping you up. It's not a tenable thing. You can get through the day. You can keep your job for the rest of the week, maybe. But you really can't function the way the system works here in Congress and the way the system is drawn up with the other party keeping you in power. It's just not feasible. You're going to have to find some other way forward with Republicans getting back behind him or, as has been proposed, changing the rules so that any one or two members can't move to oust you. And that might be the way forward for him.
You had House Democrat leader Hakeem Jeffries saying he planned to gather Democrats for a meeting Thursday morning to discuss the package. You've had the U.S. Senate, in other words, rejecting impeachment charges against Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Eric Schmidt has objected, the Missouri senator accusing Chuck Schumer of setting our Constitution ablaze. I mean, Scott, what is going on here?
Yeah, Thursday at the Capitol. You just described it quite well. I'm actually near that meeting of House Democrats as they talk about this foreign aid bill. And I've spoken with Senator Schmidt, not just about Alejandro Mayorkas, but Senator Schmidt has been unambiguous with his criticisms of continued funding for Ukraine, a U.S. taxpayer, saying that the people of Missouri, he says, his constituents don't sufficiently support it. That's where things stand. You have a viscerally and very firmly divided Congress. I'll add this one thing. Yeah, Democrats are going to swoop in and save the House Speaker Mike Johnson. If they're going to be his aspirin to this political headache, they remember in 2020, in December, in 2021, in January, when Mike Johnson was executing the denialism of the 2020 election and helping Donald Trump try to find a path to overturn the results. And they're not going to forget that. I think that might be standing in the way of Mike Johnson getting a tidal wave of Democrats to support him long term after this Ukraine funding is complete.
Let's touch briefly before we let you go on those impeachment charges against the Department of Homeland Security Secretary. The U.S. Senate rejected that. You know, Tom mentioned some of the objections from Missouri's Eric Schmidt. Does this essentially end this? Can things move forward from here?
Yeah, it ends the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas, who Republicans had accused of breaching the public's trust and willfully and systematically failing to enforce immigration law. Boy, did it move quickly. It really wasn't a trial as much as it was senators talking to each other and arguing about procedures. I swear to you, this is accurate. This is not an exaggeration. The impeachment proceedings in the U.S. Senate, long awaited, lasted less time than the average Cardinals game. I mean, it was, if you blinked, you missed this thing. And this really does provide finality on this second ever impeachment of a U.S. cabinet secretary. It was just less than 3 hours.
Thursday at the Capitol. That's right.
That's right.
You were on the phone when we were talking about those $6 Cardinals tickets. I'm sure you would snap those up if you could.
Or get four of them so the boys and the wife can come too. At this point, that whole National League's up for grabs, and I'm bullish. I know it's April. I'm bullish already.
I hear you. I know. It's always great to have CBS correspondent Scott McFarland with us. Thank you for the time.
Thank you.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.